Also connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Got the frame all set up, and
got it all buttoned up now after I, you know, winterized the engine and whatnot. Vacuumed out the boat, winterized up the engine, and then put the cover on.
Other than getting the fuel tank, I guess, as low as you can, or putting a lot of stabilizer in it, what else is there on winterizing an engine?
For an outboard, you want to make sure that you run the fuel out of the bowls, fog the cylinders out, and get every last little bit of water out of the block of the engine.
Oh yeah, I forget, those engines are water cooled, so it's got seawater in there unless you've flushed it with fresh water.
You always flush it with fresh water when you're done with it. When you bring it home or when you come out of the water, if you go over to the flushing station, because you don't want the salt water sitting in there for any length of time.
So you just run it dry for a while?
No, you never run it dry.
So how do you get the water out of the block?
Several ways. You make sure the engine orientation is correct, because they are self-draining. They will self-drain. There's a couple of different ways. You can run antifreeze through the engine so that any water that might be trapped in the engine will not freeze. But that's a little more complicated. It's much easier just to turn around and run it with fresh, clean water in it, allow it to drain, and then if you have the means of blowing air through the water passages, you just blow some air, compressed air through there, and get out any last little bits of water that could be trapped in corners or stagnant water channels.
So in that case, when you're servicing the engine, and you're running it on dry land, you really should have a garden hose hooked up to it to circulate water through it.
Yes. There's an attachment for your garden hose that looks like a pair of earmuffs, and the water goes to the inside of the earmuffs, which you place over the water intake ports on the bottom of the outboard. So it supplies it with water as if it was sitting in the water.
Ah, so. Okay. Makes sense. You just have to run it in a place where you can have water running onto the ground, because I'm sure it gets spit out somewhere.
Do it on the driveway. Do it on your lawn. You know, it's just water.
Yeah, unless you're doing the antifreeze bit, in which case when that starts coming out, you don't want it all over the place.
Well, in that case, you would submerge the outboard into a barrel, and the barrel would be full of antifreeze, so that it would suck the antifreeze up through the cooling system and then spit it back out. But that requires copious gallons of antifreeze and a barrel to set the outboard in, and then when you're done, you have to either drain the barrel down or remove the outboard from the barrel so that you can once again resume putting it up for the winter.
I guess if you were a boatyard and you were going to do this to a lot of outboards, it would pay to have that barrel, but not an individual owner.
True, true. What you would do would be you would, with a forklift or whatever, you could just dip the back of the boat into the barrel, do what you got to do, and then pick the boat back up and store the boat up on a one of those dry dock racks after it's been all shrink wrapped and whatnot, and this way you know that everything is good.
Yeah. So, I take it the camper is shut down also, because unless you're going to start using it, this is beautiful camping weather right now.
The camper's shut down.
Okay, on to more mundane issues. How far along are you in the trip?
Two-laner prior to the four-laner.
You must have started out just the same time I did, because I got ahead of you. I'm up to the three-laner already.
My problem is that I'm going to probably wind up having to buy me a new coffee pot, because the coffee pot didn't perk this morning. The timer turned it on, everything was great. But I think the element, you know, the heating, boiling element, whatever, may be gone, because it did not boil and percolate the water. So if I can repairs it, I'll repairs it. If I can't, then I'll be shopping around for a new one.
What, do you got one of those drip coffee makers, like a Mr. Coffee or something like that?
Oh, I've got a big fancy Cuisinart unit that was extremely high rated and never had a lick of problems with it up until this morning, and I wasn't about to sit there and start troubleshooting it, so I left a note for she who must be feared and obeyed. Don't be angry and think that I forgot to make coffee. The coffee pot is inoperative.
She's more to be feared and obeyed when she hasn't had her morning caffeine?
I am sure of it. So, the one last time I remember in the most recent future, and to PPN, by the way, I had actually just forgotten to make coffee the night before, you know, set it all up and flip the timer switch on the thing and whatnot, and there was no coffee. Now, it wasn't any big deal for me. I figured I'd just grab a cup on the way in, but I got accused of purposely not making coffee.
Oh, so she's one who must have her morning caffeine.
I would assume so, but I actually got accused of purposely not making coffee, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
See, I don't have to worry about that. My wife is not a coffee drinker, neither am I. And in all honesty, I haven't had anything in my mouth other than my toothbrush so far this morning.
I'm not going there at all. You mean you didn't visit 32 Elm Street?
I don't have to. I have plenty in 529 Lakeville.
Actually, I'm trying to think. The logic module may be bad. Or maybe it tripped the fuse or something. Because even the warmer plate wasn't on. Usually when it goes into brew cycle, the warmer plate kicks on too, and the warmer plate wasn't even warm. So there may be a problem. Maybe relay, logic module, something, who knows. If I don't get home at 9 o'clock tonight, I'll dump the water out of it and I'll poke around inside and see what's going on. If I can fix it, I'll fix it. If not, then I guess I'll be looking around for a new one. I know the Cuisinart makes a upgraded version that for tea drinkers, it has a the coffee pot, coffee maker side, and then it's got the hot water dispensary for tea. My daughter likes to drink tea, so who knows whether I'll look at that one.
Well, you can always look into one of the Keurigs and go out and get the refillable pots so that you can fill them up yourself with the coffee or tea of your choice.
I make 10 to 12 cups of coffee every single day. I'm not getting a Keurig. Keurig is for people who drink one cup of coffee.
What do? You fill a thermos with the coffee?
That's right. I have my thermos full of Bustelo and a big 12-ounce mug that I take with me every single day.
And how much do you leave behind for she who must be feared and obeyed?
Generally, she's got one of those, you know, nice oversized mugs. Generally enough for at least one of those oversized mugs.
Okay, as long as you leave her enough for her to get her caffeine.
Why, I make a full coffee pot full of coffee every single day. And if there's a little bit of leftover in my thermos, it stays there to lighten the load for the next day.
Okay. You put any milk or sugar in?
Not in the thermos. The thermos is black only. In the summertime, it's black iced coffee, and in the wintertime, it's black coffee only. The only time I put anything in my coffee is in my travel mug, and I usually put a little fat-free half and half in there just for that first cup of the morning, but the rest of the time it's all black.
Okay, that's similar to the way I drink the tea. I don't put any lemon or sugar or anything in.
Plain vanilla Gary, that's always been you. Enter PPN Mobile. Where am I? I think I'm coming up to Dr. Jekyll New Hyde Park. It's slow road.
It opens up again because I'm already up to the CIP and I'm doing nicely. No, but what I've been doing is I've been getting the different flavored teas.
You're just a tease.
Yep. I got a Keurig in the office at school, and I'm going to pick up one of those refillable pots for the one at home, because I got some loose tea that I want to try.
See, now, that's when a Keurig is justified. If you're a single cup drinker, and you're not looking to carry around like a thermos full of stuff. When we had the Keurig over in, when I was with Hawkeye over at the Gowanus Switchyards, if I wanted to take a cup of coffee with me, I would have to run two of those Keurigs in their smaller ounce configuration. I'd run two of the K-cups, and I'd fill up my travel cup, and then at least I had palatable coffee.
Well, I have a travel mug, a travel cup that I take with me when I go to my 7 o'clock seminar on Thursdays, and one large version, because it's got those three settings on the Keurig, I put it through one large with a K-cup of tea, and it's perfect.
There you have it. like my coffee like I like my women, black and bitter.
That's the thing. I love the smell of coffee, but the taste is way too bitter for me.
And to PPN Mobile. Well, you know what they say, bitter is better.
Bitter is better.
All right, yeah, I'm a little bit behind you. Just blown past. Yeah, I'm blown past Lakeville.
N2ZEP. Yeah, I'm up to 188, and we slowed down a little bit, so the traffic is up and down today.
Traffic was nice coming home Saturday, Sunday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't touch the brakes once.
Now, what happens to you when you, if you work Saturday night this week, with the clocks being changed? Do you gain or lose an hour, or do they just figure it out properly?
If I was to cross, what is it, the 2 a.m. mark, which is when it's supposed to happen, I'd get paid the extra hour. Because it's consecutive hours, it's not clock hours, so obviously there's no time clock that's going to push itself back an hour and short me an hour of my time. So if I go out at 9 and I get back at 4, I'll be getting paid till 5.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you didn't get cheated.
Trust me, I won't get cheated.
You figure you're probably going to be working either late or a double today?
Sure, I couldn't tell you. Every day could be something different. Every day could be something different. I mean, Friday I wound up doing a straight time day. I was like on my way home at 2:30 or whatever. Actually, no, I think I got an hour overtime. 2:30? It was like I didn't know what to do with myself.
Should have winterized the boat then?
I was a little preoccupied with other stuff.
Okay. So, let's see what's coming up this week. Oh, yeah. Over the weekend, I sent an email to my students. My seminar partner decided to get one of those presenter pointers that we could give the students to use. So now, the seminar room we use, the position to set up the computer to hook into the room projector, physically behind the screen, so half the people in the room can't see the presenter when the screen's pulled down. So we got one of those remote presenter pointers. They can control the computer remotely and has a laser pointer on it. I told all the students about it via email. I'm sure they're not happy with him.
You know, Rolex would help. Yeah, well, now everybody can be on the same side of the screen, the sunny side of the screen.
Well, that's not the problem. When you do that, I don't know how often you've used PowerPoint, is what is known as presenter view. Presenter view, you have three things visible to you at the same time, while the audience only sees your slide. You have your slide, you have a little film strip that shows you what your next slide is, next few slides, and it also has a nice large area called notes, presenter notes. They can't use that anymore because you won't be able to see them.
When I tell you I want sharks with frickin'
fucking laser beams on their heads. I want sharks with fucking laser beams on their heads.
It's Captain Greenroof.
Did you hear it?
You bury Lou Reed in your roof?
Very sad. Very disheartened. They had a couple of his discs on yesterday.
Take a walk on the wild side?
Favorite songs that he picked up from me, which I'm very, very proud of. Garish, how about that PowerPoint presenter presentation? That's a lot of bees.
Well, Steve, you should mind your P's and Q's. Good morning.
I never have, nor will I ever need to use PowerPoint, so I have no idea what you're talking about, and all that keeps going through my head is, what does this mean to me?
We'll get to the velocity factor in a moment with you, Rich, but I'm very familiar with Power Perk, so I know exactly what you're talking about in your frickin' laser beam.
What it means is the students actually have to know what they're going to say before they say it. They can't use prompts and just read off the computer, which puts everyone to sleep.
It should make like an outline display so you could follow along.
Why would you want to follow along if you're the one giving the presentation? Aren't you supposed to know your work? Aren't you the one who created the presentation, put together the slides, made this little file that you're now displaying to everybody else and talking about? Why would you want a script to read from in this notes area unless you indeed were not the person who created the file?
It's presented more like a bullet point type outline, not the script. So while you're driving your point home, the point is there on the screen for everyone to remember.
Not just another slide.
Now, the best PowerPoints are just some sort of picture and you talk about it. You don't want to do too much reading as the audience. You put them to sleep.
Nitrous needed.
I did not go to the fleas market yesterday.
You see my pictures of Jib?
Not sure. I saw some pictures. Looked like it was in front of some kind of templeage.
It's not a temple. It's the auditorium above Jib Lanes. Those are movie props that were put on the wall for a TV pilot that Tracy Morgan shot there on Friday. I got to, I didn't really meet him, I just kind of walked past him and said, hey Tracy, because Friday was one of those days, I think I had texted you during the day, Stevie, that I needed to severely find a facility on the way home, so I figured I would just stop by the bowling alley and, you know, check on the lanes there for a couple seconds, and the whole entire block up and down is all filled with movie trailers and whatnot. I go inside and I go, what's going on? They go, Tracy Morgan's shooting a movie here.
Ah, so that's why that was there.
Silly.
The balcony lounge of the auditorium has an old-style feel to it, like a movie theater lobby. It's got a bar area, and then it's got the doors that go into the balcony and stuff like that. And apparently they made it up to look like a movie theater lobby with popcorn machine and candy bars, candy counter, this whole nine yards, or whatever they were doing to make it look like the entrance of a movie theater. Then somebody told me that the reason that they put those foam core styrofoam letters
on the outside of the building was that supposedly he wakes up from a dream on the ground and he looks up and that's where he is. So we thought it was quite apropos that yesterday being the Jewish club's political breakfast that they left the props stuck to the wall.
How many in attentia at that breakfast?
Oh, we had probably about 600-700 people, all sorts of politicos. John Liu came by, Nettie Meyerson always used to come, Toby Stavitsky was there, all sorts of, you know, politicals and this and that, and lots of speeches. It dragged on and on and on and on. Everybody was like, it's almost kickoff time.
So did anyone translate the Hebrew for you?
I translated it when I saw it. It says yeshiva, and it's the letter spacing is off.
I didn't look at the letter spacing that well.
That was the joke. Donnie and I were laughing our butts off going, it's finally happened. They sold the union to the Jews.
Dose of vitamin D.
watched it.
I think Gary was more of a romper room kind of guy.
And Wonderama. Those were on Saturday. Now, was Supercar on Saturday? I don't remember. I think that was my favorite show. That and... well, those were the puppet ones. I think Fireball XL5 might have been on Saturday morning. But I'm not sure about Supercar.
What about Diver Dan? I heard you had the hots for the mermaid.
I did. I even remember the song. I remember the melody, at least in some of the words.
That and Thunderballs. Creepy puppets. The creepy puppets and the one with the eyebrows that just wouldn't stop.
You do remember those, right? Fireball XL5?
Yes, of course.
Am I that much older than you guys?
Not much older than us, Gary. I just think that you're that much nerdier than we are.
I don't remember these shows.
You probably being...
Good double.
Probably being bused to Hebrew school and he wasn't allowed to watch cartoons.
I don't know if he had Palace Patrolling Club yet.
Maybe they didn't even have a TV in the house. They only had one TV in the living room.
17-inch black and white Zenith.
And it was only allowed to be turned on by certain people in the house for certain hours of the day.
No, I was a TV junkie. We had more than one TV.
Was it a Zenith 17-inch black and white?
I don't remember the model, don't remember the size, but at least one of them was a Zenith.
Remember our Admiral black and white console with the record player in it?
No.
Morning, NY2H.
Lulu, how was Fleas Market yesterday? Santa had a ball game that I played in. How was the turnout?
Yeah, there was a double there, but I got Steve at the end. Turnout seems to be okay. Richie thought we might have been a little bit down, but he's not sure yet until they do all the numbers. But it was okay, you know. And hopefully you did well in the ball game.
I'm at the tunnel, so hello and goodbye, N2ZDP.
Say goodbye, I say hello.
Bye, HR. Be thinking about that all day. Yes, we swept. We swept. This team was, they had a better record than us, too, but I don't know if they had all their guys there. But we had a pretty tight game. In the first game, I think we won 7-5. In the second game, we blew them out. A lot of yelling and screaming on their side, so... yeah. And it was a little chilly. And we have playoffs begin next week, when we turn the clocks back.
Oh boy, that's next week right here. And 7-3 to ZEP. Have a wonderful... And, yeah, it's cold. 37 here. Wow, next week already. Okay, this is it. This is what we signed up for. Rich?
60, he's out.
Hal's got ice on his wings. Yes. It's gonna, start getting a little chillier around. I had, 38 or 39 on the big board when I jumped in the vehicle, and here I am coming into, where am I? Mission Boulevard on the expressway. We got 50. It's like a heat wave, I tell you. It's like a heat wave. Hal, turn the wing de-icers on and step right in. And then you can give it to Skeeves. And to PPN Mobile.
And to PPN Mobile, K6TPZ. Well, it's cold out there. Here, I was planning to maybe get out there this morning. I got to check weather. This is not happy weather. Yeah, the market looked very good yesterday, I'll tell you. I was down there, came early, left relatively early, but it looked like they had a very nice show up. And I hope the club did well with it. Can you pick it up? Kilowatt 6, Dark Purple Zombies.
Okay, morning, Hill. I got 40 degrees and I'm by the Casino Cemetery where people are dying to get in. I think it was a little warmer than yesterday morning. The game was at 8:30. I'd say it was about, I don't know, 45 by the time we played. And then it got, you know, it gets nicer, but at least it was sunny, so I froze the week before. We played on a field that had no sun. It had like a little ribbon of sun in one of the outfields, but the whole infield was shaded, and man, was it cold. It was windy there. That was at Juniper Valley Park. Oh, I'm sorry. It was at Cunningham Park on 73rd Avenue. Anyway, okay. I'm glad also to hear that it had a decent turnout. Hopefully the numbers will reflect that, Lou.
Yeah, all right, very good. NY2H Mobile. Hopefully. And, you know, Steve, when the other team is all bent out of shape and the fans are all in consternation, and that's good. That's a good thing. Well, very good. Congratulations on that. And, Hal, if you're going to be around when these guys clear, I have another issue now, which I'd like to maybe pick your brain for two minutes or so. You can give me a fast summary, but I'll let you know that a little later on. And, Rich, yeah, I heard you on the other night. I don't know if you were going to work. Man, you're working like a something powerhouse, so hope you're socking away all that cash. Over to you, Rich.
Well, I went in at 9 p.m. Saturday night and got home 4 o'clock Sunday. So, it was fun. Evening started out nice, and by the end of the night, we had the heat on in the lab, and it was just keeping it comfortable in the lab. And that was with the door open. I think if it had gotten much colder, we were probably going to have to shut the door and the access portal for the slice case and huddle together for warmth. But I didn't think it was going to come to that. Still wasn't too bad, but by the time but the drive home, it was chilly out. I didn't have the Toxic Avenger. I took the toilet odor in on Saturday night. Needed to give it a nice ride. It hadn't been out. I took it out Saturday morning for supplies, for winterizing the boat, getting a new winter cover for it, stuff like that. So I figured as long as I had it out, topped it off with fuel, I'd take it to work. So that's why I sounded a little different on Saturday when I was on the radio on my way into work. Halliburton, over to you. And to PPN, if some people call me Maurice Avenue.
And to PPN, the group K6TP said, okay. Yeah, I'm down here. I just was trying to straighten out some stuff. I played hooky over the weekend, but now I got a bunch of paperwork I've got to get done before I start in the morning. Lou, I won't forget. What is your problem? Last time when you asked me a question, I didn't come back with an answer. This time I'm coming back with an answer. So you'll give me a little critique, and I'll continue. You couldn't get the answers last night on the TechNet with our religious expounder there. Go ahead.
I think let's turn it over to Steve, and then he can send it back to me. Go ahead, Steve.
No, that's okay. You guys carry on. I'm just parking a car. Have a good one. Stay warm. Supposed to warm up. See you later. KP2 and QN Mobile.
All right. See you later. Have a good one. Well, I don't know, Rich, are you near the shanty, or are you going to hang in there before I start it without?
Pay no attention to me. Go ahead and do what you got to do. It looks like I'm going to be in a few more minutes worth of traffic here. Can't get to the approach for the Kosciuszko. So go ahead. And to PPN, I'm still here.
QH, and I love the alliteration. Toilet odor, I guess that's a Toyota, I don't know. But anyway, so Hal, I didn't buy much yesterday, but I bought a couple of ground jumpers. I figured I'd, as last we spoke, I had moved the 706 away from the amp about 3 feet. I also put the other tuner in, as you know, between the exciter and the amplifier, and that's all great. So last night, and I also bought some, not that it's significant, I don't think, but some ferrite slugs, put them around some of the cables, just for the heck of it. That's all well and good. So I grounded my high power antenna tuner, the slug in the back. I had a jumper ground, you know, nice thick cable, and I jumpered that to the high power antenna tuner to the amplifier. Fine. I jumped the low power antenna tuner to the 706. Fine. So I wanted to see if I had a little more stability or whatever, so I go to key up. And the darn thing is not keying up anymore. Now, what they have in the Ameritrons, they have their little junction box, or whatever you want to call it, their keyer. And it's got a little LED on it, lights up. Let me let it drop. And it's got a lot of electronics in it because it's kind of a universal one, and it has an external power, 12 volts or whatever, but you don't, in my configuration, you don't use it. It takes the power off the DIN connector from the back of the 706, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that stopped working. I opened up the manual quickly, and I noticed things about grounding, and I was just annoyed last night, and I didn't read everything. I think I popped something in it. It's got a few transistors, maybe FETs, I don't know. But I'm not sure, so now I need some kind of DIN breakout, and I think I have a spare cable with a DIN on one end, and I'll just break out the wires, maybe use that, because I know there's an H-sent signal, which I think is bi-directional, which will key up, and I want to make sure the 706 is okay. The cable might be crap, you know, MFJ, even their RCA cables are so loose when you plug them in, I want to swap them out, so, you know, it's a lousy way to end the weekend, let me put it that way. Hal?
Okay, so basically you're saying, Lou, that you're not able to key the amplifier with the 706. Okay, why don't you go in first on the 706 output for the external keying of the amplifier and see if that switching circuit is pulling a low when you key it. And if it's pulling a low when you key it, then we know everything is okay on the 706. You could look at it, take an ohmmeter, use times one scale. On the keying leads that's coming out of the 706, it's a transistor switch in there. Now, if you take the ohmmeter, put it the right direction, when you key, you're going to see conduction on the ohmmeter. That tells me that the 706 is putting out a low. Now, I don't know what the polarity is of your ohmmeter you're using, so go one way with the ohmmeter on the lead, the keying lead to ground. Go the other way, whichever way you see when you key it, you have conduction, you know that part is good. Then we can make a half a prayer. Go ahead.
Okay, so that is, as I understand it, the H-send signal, which I think is for HF-send, as opposed to VHF-send, the V-send signal. And that's what they call it, open collector. It's going to drop if you put something on it. Another thing is I have to get an analog meter. I have this digital piece of crap. And, the numbers just bounce all over, and it makes me crazy. Plus, it's got a delay. So I'm going to get an analog meter. I'll pick one up. Right, so if that's good, we cross one thing off and we say the 706 is okay. I buzz out the cable if I knew how it was wired, and there is a schematic in the manual for this little unit. So perhaps I can figure that out. The amp is okay because if I short out the cable going into the amp, the relay clicks in. So the amp is okay, so it's the 706 and this junction box and the connecting cable out of the suspects. But did I create the situation by grounding my chassis together?
I really don't think so, though, to be honest.
honest with you. But let's isolate one thing at a time, because how far did you bring to take the 706 from the amplifier and tuner? As I mentioned, you were trying to really isolate that tuner a distance away.
Right, so they're about maybe 3 feet from each other, you know, with a 3 foot jumper cable, you know, coax cable. And I'm pretty stable. I don't know if I told you, but I have that. A lot of my problem was just the MFJ metering. You know, when I have an oscillation problem, I can tell, and the dead-to-rights way to tell is to look at the power output on the 706. If you got it jacked down to L power and it's full scale, you know you got a problem. Well, it doesn't always happen when the meter, when the reflective meter on the antenna tuner starts to pin. I think that's the metering circuit now. I've been in QSO, et cetera, no problem. It's just a full syndicator, and I can back off a little, and it clears itself up. So I'm not so concerned about that problem anymore, but I figured I'd put some ferrite, it can't hurt, and I figured I'd put chassis together. So that's what I did. And then all of a sudden this thing went south. But all right, so we'll do that. I'll check that H-send signal, and then we'll continue from there. Let's see, is Rich still there, or are you gone? I'd say he's probably gone. So that'll be that, you know. It's always something, right?
Yeah, well, I have a feeling it may be that little MFJ thing. I'm hoping it's not the switching transistor in the 706. But, you know, you can also compare. You have the HF King down, and you have the VHF King down, both. So if you went to VHF, you also check that King circuit. And if one is showing a King down low, and the other one's not showing a King down low when you're in the HF position, then it's in the 706. They do use a very small device in there that you pull a low on, which is really ridiculous. But it's a micro transistor. So check that first. And then work from there. And you didn't see an analog meter there yesterday? Well, I seen them for $5-6. You got to have an analog meter. Digital is great, but a simple analog meter, you know, you got to have one. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself because I saw them there also, you know. And years ago I had them. I had a lot of stuff years ago before my divorce. And everything just mysteriously and magically disappeared, if you know what I mean, so I gotta build everything up again. But yeah, so I'll leave the analog, I'll get a cheap one. And that's a good suggestion. So in other words, look at the VSEN, the VHF send, see how that's operating, and they should operate the same way. And then check the H send, and hopefully they're both operating. The other thing which is related is, you know that third DIN connector in the back of the 706. So this relay box, it's not really a relay box, it's solid state, but this box goes into that, right? But then I can't use my packet stuff or my digital stuff on the computer, because that needs that also. Would it be okay if I made some kind of Y cable so that I can have just one plug plugged into that 13 DIN connector and then share some of the leads between the amplifier relay box and the digital interface, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what I would do, I just wouldn't run it as a Y. I would bring the amplifier lead in and the other box in. Go through a diode on each one, so the diode's cathodes are facing properly to pull a low. That way you have isolation, DC isolation between both pieces, but yet either piece that you want will look low at the other end of the diode.
Another excellent suggestion. All right, I'm going to file that in my brain when we get to that project. Very good. All right, Hal. Excellent. Excellent. I don't know if you wanted to start your paperwork now. You want to chew the rag. I'm here on the northern state. I got a little trip ahead of me. Had my coffee already. My son-in-law made some this morning, so I filled up my thermos. And you know, we got the heated seat in the car. Thank God for that. I mean, I can turn it off now. It's pretty hot, but you know, when you first get in, it's really chilly. That's a godsend.
Hello, I know what you mean, Lou. I can talk a few more minutes. I'm just trying to finish off some stuff here. I have quite a few projects that have come in, and just trying to get them ironed out, you know, if you know what I mean. Yeah, always if you're going to key two things or three things, go into like, you know, like it's like a gate. But when you're putting the diode on each thing, you're keying to the common point. One thing will not see the other. That way, when you pull ground, you can pull grounds on other things, but they won't look back in case the potential differences are different from what you're trying to keep.
That makes perfect sense. So that's good for that, some isolation. But that should work. But it's just that, you know, so I couldn't find any kind of cable. Got the fabricated. And I'm all thumbs also, so that's another challenge. But, you know, I'll stretch slow and methodically, that's the only, otherwise I'll just damage stuff. I'll just take my time, you know. If I don't have something I need, I'll wait and get that, you know, whether it be a magnifying glass, which I think I have anyway, or what have you. But, you know, that can be dangerous, so I gotta be careful. Alright, well, I'll work barefoot for a while. I mean, I could manually key the thing, but I'm not gonna do that. And, you know, I was pretty happy, too, because everything was, I did the contest Saturday on 10, Japan, I was working a lot of stations with my lousy little wire in the trees, you know, so I was happy, and, you know, I recorded my settings, because everything is manual, I don't have any automatic tuners, so I have everything charted in, like, bar graphs, and I can quickly go to another frequency, set everything pretty close, just maybe do a minor trim when I get on the air on that frequency, so it was good. This is NY2H Mobile.
H3ACC Mobile.
GKS. I wanted to mention something to you, Lou. GK, hold on one sec. Confirm. Well, I want to go into Radio Shack over the weekend. They are selling a toolkit that's a $40 toolkit for precision work. Has screwdrivers, has so much stuff that you can't believe it. They're clearancing them out for $10. Very well worth it.
Look for that. I didn't get the break of the call. Was that Andy? I'm not sure.
Morning, KB2ADG Mobile in Brooklyn. So I guess everybody's on their way to work, and I'm almost there. I can't believe the traffic at before 6 o'clock. Lou, pick it up.
It's 2 KKX.
Yeah, righty, and Peter's recognized also. Okay, guys. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Peter. We have Hal in there. Hal's giving me some advice. Peter, I don't know if you've been monitoring another problem. A little relay box. I think it's that between my exciter and amplifier. It's crap down. He's giving me the roadmap how to proceed. I am grateful for that. Thank you very much, Hal. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. This is Grant. And, I did get on the radio a little bit this weekend, and certainly 10 meters was great. Although I didn't hear any answer, but curious to know what time of the day you were on to hear that. I was picking up mostly South America, Europe, and Africa. Anyway, that's where who gets it. Let me give it to Hal.
Oh, okay, very good. Very good. K6DPZ. Yeah, I wish I had a chance to get on the frequency myself and do a little talking over the weekend. Didn't work out that way. Maybe next week. Yeah, so, Lou, that's, as I mentioned,